Hi, you're in Luke chapter 17 this morning. Y'all pardon me, I may cough and spit and sputter, but I'm determined to preach today. Luke 17 verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. You've laid this message on my heart. Lord, it's been there for now a week and a half or more. And Lord, I believe that the subject is so important, not the speaker, but the subject. And Lord, I ask you to help me today. And Lord, I pray you would help people to focus on the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts. So many times, Lord, we get in the house of God and we let our mind wander. We wander away from the truth that's being preached. And Lord, would you help that not to be the case today? Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were among the elect, I guess, few, and you were able to get a ticket, you could be today in China watching the Olympics, where hundreds of athletes are gathered, and I'm sure not every one of them, there's many of them that realize I can't attain it, but a great number of those that are there have one thought and one mind, and that is, I want to be number one. I want to be number one. People just constantly in the world today are pushing. They want that number one position, whatever it is. Maybe it's in business, they want that number one position. Maybe it's in the entertainment world, all right? They want that number one position. In the sports world, we have today a thing called a GOAT. Used to, I thought if you called somebody a GOAT, that wasn't a compliment. But nowadays, it's supposed to stand for the greatest of all time. And I'm not real sure how we're able to compare somebody whose performance today against somebody who was 50 years ago or 75 years ago. Things were different. But, hey, the drive, the goal, be number one. Be number one. I won't be honest with you this morning. I really am not interested in being number one. Amen. Number one. I'm not interested in you being number one. But I am interested in you being that one. Amen. That one. You say, which one are you talking about? The one that's illustrated for us here in the scriptures today. The Bible tells us the group came seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord came to this earth and he came to seek men, but occasionally we find some who sought him, all right? The woman with an issue of blood sought Jesus. She sought him, said, he's my last hope, my last help, I'm looking for him. The centurion whose son was nigh unto death came seeking Jesus. He believed Jesus could help him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was going out through Jericho and he passed by and Bartimaeus heard, he sought Jesus. And he put some effort into doing that. Well, here in our text, the Bible said there were 10 men. And each one of them had the same problem. They were lepers. They were lepers. Hey, they were like the woman with an issue of blood. Nobody else could help. Nobody else could help. They were like the centurion whose son was nigh to death. He said, nobody else can help. Bartimaeus, he said, nobody else can help. And they said, Bartimaeus, could you be quiet? He said, take a hike. And he just called out louder, okay? Why? Because he realized the Lord was the only one could help. Now, these 10 lepers came to the Lord Jesus Christ with the realization, with the thought, Jesus Christ, the only one can help us. He's the only one. We've heard of him, and we come to him. And the Lord told them what to do. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says there in verse 14, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, you and I have a hard time relating to these passages because we've never been involved in something like leprosy and a terrible disease. But as these men went and obeyed the Lord, what he said to do, they were cleansed. I mean, I don't know when it occurred to them to look down, take a look, but all of a sudden they realized, hey, wait a minute, fellas. I don't know about y'all, but my leprosy's gone. And all of them realized that. But then I want you to focus on the one. That one that returned. The 10 went. All of them were cleansed. But only one came back. Only one came back. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this, and I don't know how many times I've read it, it still staggers me to read that account in the Word of God and realize that 9 people said, hot dog, we're on our way, we can live our life. But there was that one. That one that came back. That one that returned. Hey, don't you want to be that one? Don't you want to be that one that will return? Hey, notice what it says there in verse 16. It says he fell down on his face, his feet, giving him thanks. Hey, he returned to say thanks. To say thanks. What a simple thought. What a simple word. But the world is filled with ungrateful folks. Absolutely filled with ungrateful people. Filled with people who think God owes them something. They have this crazy idea, well, you know, I don't know why God didn't do what I wanted, all right? And I don't understand. And we have this idea, well, God owes it to me. Can I say this to you? God doesn't owe me anything, and God doesn't owe you one thing in this world. He doesn't owe you, all right? He is not your debtor. He does not owe you. What a sad thing, all right? What a sad thing. But so many have that idea, well, God owes me. God owes you nothing, all right? Hey, I tell you what, I just want to come back and say thanks. Thanks for what you've done. I love that song. We sing it around Thanksgiving time. We sing it every year, and I've told you, as long as I'm pastor of this church, we're going to sing that song every year at Thanksgiving. I hope all of you will learn it because I hope all of you go through life singing, I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Making me whole. Thank you, Lord. Boy, don't you want to be that one that comes back and says to God, thank you. Thank you. We have so much to thank him for. So much. Hey, every one of us could be in the hospital today. Every one of us could be in the hospital today. I mean, we could. Every one of us could be sorrowing today in deep sorrow because of the loss of a loved one. Hey, man, every one of us could have been there. We just got so much to thank God for, yet we live our lives like, man, it's not necessary. Not necessary. Hey, there ought not to be a day go by. I want to be that one that comes back to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, not only did he return to say thanks, but he returned to worship. Verse 16 said he fell on his face. He fell on his face, and he worshiped God. Oh, my goodness, just to worship him. Hey, listen, I return every Sunday to church to worship him, to worship him. Hey, I don't understand people just sit at home. I don't understand people that can sit at home week after week, month after month even, never gather in the house of God to worship the Lord. Now, preacher, you can worship the Lord anywhere. Okay, but the question is, do you? Not a question of where you can, it's do you do it? All right? And I'm just convinced a lot of people never do it, all right? A lot of people never do it. I've got at my house at least half a dozen rods and reels. They're ready to go. I got two bags of lures and fishing gear. I've got the deal, those forceps, or that's not forceps, whatever you call them, that you can go down inside that fish and get that hook out of them, you know, and I've got those things, and I've got stringers to put them on when you catch them, and I ain't been fishing in 2 years, at least. Just hadn't been. It's not that I'm against fishing, but I tell you what, I know a lot of people, they fish all the time, but they never return to worship. They never return to worship. Oh, listen, just to prostrate ourselves before the Lord, just to come to Him and say, Lord, I'm just here to worship You. We encourage you to do it. We sing those songs. You don't like to sing. Sing anyway, dadgum, all right? Doesn't matter if you like it or not. Just do it, okay? Just do it. Why? Because we're worshiping our Lord. We worship Him in song. Hey, we worship Him in offerings. And I knew you'd get around to that. Good. We'll run back several times before we get through, all right? Hey, we worship Him. We worship Him. What are we doing? We're worshiping Him. We're worshiping Him. Hey, this man, just one. Just one. 10 were cleansed. One came back to worship. Hey, don't you want to be that one? Don't you want to be that one that returns to worship? But not only did he return to worship, look at verse 15. Verse 15, he said he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. With a loud voice glorified God. We're so afraid nowadays that somebody's going to call us a fanatic. You know, we ought not to worry about it. We ought to be look, the church house should not be a place of silence. Now, it ought to be a place of honor and respect for God, but it doesn't have to be a place for silence. We don't come to church and sit down and the preacher gets up to preach and we fold arms and say, okay, bless me if you can. No, man, I want to be right there with him. I want to be there saying, amen, preacher. Amen. Preach it. Let her go. Well, Benny started preaching at me. Well, amen. I needed it. I needed it. Say, man, I lost my voice. Get out your handkerchief. Yes! Man, why don't we get a little bit of excitement praising God? A loud voice. Hey, we ought to lift up our voice and praise Him. You ought to praise the Lord every time you get a chance. I mean, you're in the grocery store, and people, we ask people out of habit, how you doing? There's a good chance to praise the Lord. Well, thank God I'm still up, you know. I've heard people say, well, you know, at least I'm looking at the green side of the grass. Well, good. Make sure you thank God for that. Make sure you thank God for that. Let's just spend a little bit of time praising Him. Hey, I'm glad if folks hear because I'm not ashamed of Him. Why don't we act like we're ashamed of Him, all right? Hey, that's why when we sing, you ought to let her rip. Just get after it. It aggravates me to no end. I've been sick for a couple of weeks, and the last thing that comes back is the voice. I'm able to preach today barely, but I can't sing. I got over here and tried to sing, started coughing. It just does a little something different to the voice, and maybe if I was a trained singer, I'd know how to handle that, but I'm not, so I can't. But man, it aggravates me when I can't sing. Just aggravates the fire. Hey, when you can, let her rip. Go to it. Well, somebody will hear me. That's the idea. That's the idea. If you sing bad enough, they'll sing louder where they can't hear you. Or if you sing bad enough, you see them edging away. That's okay, too. That's all right. Hey, man, let her rip. Just go for it, all right? Hey, man, I don't know about you, but I got something to sing about. It goes back to that giving thanks. It goes back to praising God. Oh, He's done so much for me. Don't you want to be that one that returns? Just to praise Him. Just to worship Him. Just to say, thank you, Lord. Oh, just to be that one. That one. Go back to Luke chapter 15, would you? Luke chapter 15. Man, I'm not worried about being number one, but I want to be that one. That one. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now look at verse 10. Likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Hey, don't you want to be that one that repents? Don't you want to be that one that repents? Hey, God sends conviction upon man so that man will get right. That's why he sends it. Man, some people say, well, just don't go. I'll never forget my dad and I visiting. I mentioned this in times past. My dad and I visiting some folks that were members of our church and they hadn't been in a while, and we were there, and the lady said, well, the reason we're not coming is because every time I come, I just get convicted. And said, I just want to go somewhere where every time I go, I don't get convicted. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I do not understand that at all. At all. Don't you want to be the one that gets convicted? Hey, if this old boy's wrong, I want God to speak to me. I want him to put his finger in my life until it hurts. And he says, there's the problem, sonny. You need to fix it. You need to get right. Hey, God sends conviction so we'll get right. How foolish we are to refuse the call of God. To say, oh, I don't want that convicted feeling anymore. I don't want to feel that, conviction in my life. How ignorant we are to run from God when we ought to be running to him. And saying, hey, Lord, I want to be that one that repents. I want to be that one that repents. Hey, repentance involves a change. It involves a change. I don't want to be content to live in my sin. Brother, when you get to the point in your life you're content and happy to live in your sin, you are in extreme danger. Extreme danger. Where instead of you getting to the point where God's dealt with you and you come back and you say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm going to change some things. I'm going to make it right. Please forgive me. Man, you're in a terrible situation, all right? Hey, I don't want to be content living my sin. I want to get out of it. I've been in some mud holes a time or two. But I never want to stay there. Never wanted to stay there. We were, I don't know if we'll use this illustration or not, but I'm going to. We were years and years ago had a group of teenage boys. And we went on a retreat. Up in Oklahoma, teenage girls out of our church, they went in a different direction. But I took the boys and had a guy to help me, and we went up Oklahoma. And, man, it was the first day when we got out, we're playing football. We're playing football in the cow pasture. Now, you already know where we're going, right? Yeah, this guy went out for a pass. He dove. He caught the ball. But where he landed, he did not want to stay. Yeah, I'm glad. But why is it God's people want to wallow in their sin? Why is it God's people, when the convicting power of the Holy Spirit comes on them, we push him away? We push, hey, just a little bit longer. As old brother Flanagan wrote, as Pharaoh said, just one more night with them frogs. Just want one more time. How in the world? What's wrong with us? God help us. Don't you want to be the one that comes and says, I'm sorry. I'm repenting of that sin. We're going to change some things. The Bible said for that one that does it, there's rejoicing in heaven. There's rejoicing over heaven. Just that one. Hey, you don't have to be the chiefest of sinners. You don't have to be the number one sinner. Just the one that comes and says, it's me. It's me, Lord. I'm guilty. I need to make it right. I need to get right with you. Don't you want to be that one? God, help us not to be content to live in that sin. Hey, one more. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 21? Hey, I want to be the one that returns to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To worship at your feet. And Lord, to just praise your name. I want to be that one. And Lord, I want to be that one that repents. That comes and says, I'm guilty, Lord. You've got the right guy. It's me. And I want to make it right. I want to be that one. But look with me, if we will, Matthew chapter 21. Look at verse 28. But what think you? The Lord's talking again. A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Before you. Oh, mercy. Hey, look at this. Two sons. Two sons. You got it? Now listen, in the Christian realm, you can only be a son if you're born again. You're only the son of God. You're only the child of God if you've been born again. So I believe the message pointed at God's people. God's people. We're not talking about the lost. We're not talking about the wicked. We're not talking about those that are on their way to hell. We're talking about people that name the name of Christ, people that have trusted the Lord as their Savior. And he said this man had two sons. And he instructed them to do something. They had a choice. They had a choice. As a child of God, you and I have a choice about how we're going to live. We have a choice. It's up to us, all right? You're not compelled. You're not forced to do the will of God. Okay? You're not forced to do it, all right? None of them. Notice verse 31. Whether of the twain did the will of his father. You're not forced to do that will. That dad didn't force those sons to go and labor. But he gave them the invitation. He gave them the instruction. He gave them the charge. One said, I ain't going, and later he went. The other one said, I'm going, and he lied, and he didn't go. He didn't go. Hey, you're not compelled, you're not forced to do the will of God. He said, where's the lesson? It's right here. It's a sad thing, when a child doesn't respect their parents enough to obey them. That is a sad thing. I've watched young people for years. I've watched kids for years disrespect their parents. Oh, my goodness. Just so many times. I can remember hearing my dad saying, boy, I wish I could just have about 15 minutes alone with that kid. And boy, in my lifetime now, I've felt the same way numerous times. Numerous times, but it wouldn't do any good if I did it because mom and dad need to take care of business. But it's a sad thing when a child doesn't respect their parents enough to obey them. Hey, listen, my dad, he was 83 when he left this world. What he told me to do, I did it. I did it. I did what he told me to do. Why? Because I respected him. I respected him. Now, when I was a kid, I did it because I was afraid of him. I was afraid. Ain't nothing wrong with a child being afraid of his parents. When they're a little kid, it's a good thing. When I was a little kid, I did what my dad said because I was afraid of him. But as I got older, good lands, I was married. I had children. I wasn't in his house anymore. I didn't have to do what he said. Why did you? Because I respected him. Could I say this to you? How in the world does a child of God not respect God enough to obey? Just to do what he says. How do you disrespect the Heavenly Father so much that you will not do what he says. Hey, don't you want to be that one who goes and works in obedience to the Lord who says to us, come follow me? Come follow me. Don't you want to be the one? And you say, well, wait a minute, where are we going? Well, it's the Father. Where is he going to lead you? We're not talking about the devil. I'm amazed we follow him. But the Father says, come follow me. And it's, well, where are we going? I remember as a kid asking Dad that. And he said, get in the car and find out. We'll show you. When we get there, you'll know it. And, what a good thing. What a good thing. As a youth worker and youth director, there were times we'd have a mystery trip, and I'd advertise it that way. Here you come, show up at this time, we're having a mystery trip, man. Where are we going? Where are we going? I'll show you when you get in the bus and go with us, all right? We had a mystery trip. And, why is it we think God's going to lead us off somewhere and make us miserable? Why is it that way? Our automatic assumption when God calls and he says, come follow me, I'm not going to the jungle. Why, you think that's the only place God leads people? Over to some dirt floored shack over yonder in Africa and no running water? Why is it we have that idea? Lord, if I'm going to follow you, I got to give up what I want. Yeah, but what he wants is better. What he wants. Don't you want to be that one that will say, okay, I'll go. I'll go. Don't you just want to be that one? Man, I'll be honest with you. I hate to think about telling God no. But I'd rather tell him no and then repent and then obey him than to say, okay, I will, and then not do it. There's a lot of people done that too. God speaks to them. They come down the aisle. They surrender to God. They turn around and go back, and then they don't do what they told God they'd do. What a mistake. What a mistake. Hey, it's not too late for you to obey him, okay? I don't care where you are. It is not too late for you to obey him. It's not too late for you to say, Lord, I want to be that one that respects you, and I'll respect your will rather than mine. Your will. God help us. Don't you want to be that one? It's that one. I don't give a flip about being number one at anything. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. I'm not concerned about it, you know. I'm not looking through the Guinness Book of World Records to find the weirdest thing that's in there. And you think, I believe I can swallow more of them than that person did. Well, ring a ding ding, okay? Hey, don't you want to be that one that says, Lord, I'll return to say thanks. I'll return to worship you. I'll return to praise you. I'll return for that. Lord, I want to be that one that repents. And Lord, you show me where my sin is and I'll make it right. I'll make it right. Lord, I want to be that one that will give myself to respect your will. Go where you want me to go. Do what you want me to do. Yeah, I want to be that one. That one. Now you'll notice in every one of these scriptures, the word one was used somewhere. There was one out of ten that returned. Okay? One out of ten that returned. There was one out of who knows how many that repented. That repented. There was one out of two that respected the Father's will. And obeyed him. I want to turn in a verse, and I warned you we were going there, okay? Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. See, I'm like my dad. I remember when I was a kid, and Dad would preach on giving, and I'd go, man, here we go again. But you know, now I understand why he did it. I didn't grasp it then, but I do now. Verse 10, Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You said, preacher, the word one's not in there. Sure not. Because it doesn't have to just be one. It can be as many as want to. Many as want to. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 is a very solid Bible verse. It teaches a timeless Bible principle. You said, yeah, you know, I'm not fixing to say anything you think. You see, what principle it teaches is that God blesses a giver. God blesses a giver. If we'd just learn to give. Hey, don't you want to be that one? Don't you want to be that one? No. Not if it involves this green stuff in my pocket. I mean, if it's this. I'm going to tell you the truth. I used to be so selfish. Selfish. And the truth is, I still am. But I really have tried to fight, and God's helped me to get past it. I'm confessing, all right? I used to be very selfish. We'd go out after church. I was young, very young, and I had very little money. Very little money. But I had some money. We'd go out to eat after church, and I'd just kind of sit on it and see if somebody else would pay. You ever been there? We had a guy that got saved in this church. Before he got saved, he would go out to eat and have people there, and he'd say, hey, fellas, I'll take care of the tab. Don't worry about it. He'd tell them, give it to me. And then they'd finish eating. He said, you guys go ahead and go. He said, I'll be out. I'll take care of the tab. And they all left. He'd take the tab, stick it under his plate, get up and leave. Didn't pay. Now, I didn't do that, all right? I was bad, but it wasn't that bad. But I'd sit and hope somebody else would pay for the tab. That I didn't really have to pay my fair share. But you know something? I found out what a mistake that was. What a mistake that was. Hey, God blesses givers. Said, does that involve money? Yep. Sure does. The tithe is money. It's finances. It's finances. You know, we're to tithe off of everything God gives us. All thine increase, the Bible says. Hey, we're to tithe off. And truthfully, it belongs to him. That's really not giving. That's just letting him have what belongs to him. Now, we're coming up on mission conference. Mission conference is talking about giving, all right? Talking about giving, talking about mission giving. That's above your tithe. That's above your tithe. That's not taking your tithe and say, okay, we're going to give part of it to the Lord and part of it to missions. No, all the tithe belongs to God, okay? But what you give above and beyond that, you can indicate where you want that to go. I'm going to give that to missions. Now, I've tried in my lifetime, I've tried to give my tithe and always give more than a tithe. Tried to always give more than the tithe, okay? So if you were to see my offering envelope every Sunday, you might assume, well, that's how much he's making. No, I'm making less than that because I'm giving more than the tithe. I'm not going to miss out on receiving the blessing. Said, I told you I was selfish. I'm still selfish, but now instead of selfish and don't want to give it, I want to give from God. I want him to bless me. I just want him to bless me. And boy, don't you want to be that way? And don't you want to be that way? Learn to give. Hey, wait a minute. I said the principle involves money, but it doesn't stop with money. Hey, you ought to learn to give your treasure, but you ought to learn to give your time, your talent, everything. Give it all to God if you want the Lord to bless you. Just learn to give to him. Man, we're hovering over it and saying, I've got to guard it myself. Don't want anybody to get any of it. Keep an eye on it. Hey, Won't you learn to give? Won't you, hey, I want to be the one, if God's blessing, I want to be where it's coming. As the preacher used to say, I want to be at the spout where the glory comes out, all right? I want to be there at that spot where the blessing comes. And don't you want to be that one who gets the blessings of God? No, I'd rather God just leave me alone. You're an idiot. And I don't know how to say that and cushion the statement, all right? You're an idiot, all right? Hey, truthfully, I don't believe that. I believe we like the blessings that God sends. I believe we enjoy them. Man, we want those blessings. We want those blessings. Hey, I want them. I want the blessing of God. Oh, my soul. Just begin to tick them off. It's a blessing to have kids that love you. What a blessing to have kids that love you. You say, well, I'm not sure mine do. Well, how much do you love them? So you get what you give, all right? Y'all hadn't figured this out. You get what you give. It's a blessing to have kids that love. It's a blessing to have grandkids that are healthy. They're healthy. My granddaughter, my daughter's daughter, she was born. My wife, she was quick to say, there's something just doesn't look right about her. I said, it's because she's kin to me. There was a little bit of physical development challenge there. And later on, they realized in the doctor she had to wear this little old helmet thing to help her head, the bones and everything grow. I thought she looked pretty good in the helmet, personally. And I remember looking at the pictures of her. Man, and they would be out doing something, and she had a smile that wide. You know, I said, what a blessing. What a blessing that God helps you there. God blesses you. Hey, God blesses me. I'm glad I'm standing here this morning. Glad I'm standing here this morning. God's blessed this guy so much. So much. What a blessing it is to have a spouse that loves you. Good heavenly days. That loves you. Now, I know there's a few of you, maybe you're here, you think, well, how could they help? But I don't look at it that way. I know me. What a blessing to have a spouse that loves you. What a blessing it is to have friends. Friends. I got a thank you card from Brother Way. He was here and he preached for us, what, last Sunday or the Sunday before, sometime in there. I don't remember now when, but he preached for us. And his wife played the piano, and he wrote a little personal note and a letter, and he said, you know, thank you for the a love offering, but he said, thank you for being a friend for so many years. And I thought, yeah, he's been my friend. He's been my friend. What a blessing it is. What a blessing. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. I want to be that one that receives the blessings of God. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you want to be that one? Hey, if you want to be that one that receives the blessings, then you got to learn. You got to learn, all right, to be where God wants you to be. You got to learn to give the way God would have you to give. And every now and then, God pokes me and says, give. Give. He said, what do you do? I give. I give. I'm glad I've learned to do that. I'm still selfish. I give now to get the blessing. All right. Nothing's changed. Just looking at it from the other side of the coin. All right. Hey, don't you want to be the one that gets that blessing? Hey, don't you want to be the one that respects the will of God? This is, Lord, I love you and I'll do what you say. You're my Father. I'll do what you say. Don't you want to be that one? Hey, that's the one day that'll hear, well done. Well done. Don't you want to be that one? Hey, don't you want to be that one that repents? God's dealing with you about some sin. He's got his finger on that point in your life, and you know it. You've been struggling. You've been pushing him away. Good lands. Don't you want to be the one that repents and there'll be joy in heaven? Not only that, it'll do something for you too. Cause joy to break out in you. Hey, don't you want to be that one that returns and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for what you didn't give me that I deserved. Thank you, Lord, for overlooking that. Lord, could I just worship you a little bit? Could I just praise your name? Hey, plenty have not returned. Many won't repent. A host of folks are disrespectful and disobedient. Few are real givers. Don't you want to be that one? Don't you want to be that one? This says, I'll do it. I'll do it. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us today? Help us to see who we are and where we are. And Lord, what we are as a Christian and as your child. Lord, I pray that you'd show it to us. And Lord, if there be sin that needs to be repented of, Lord, help us to repent today. Help us to walk down that aisle, kneel here at the altar, one of these front pews, and make things right with God. Lord, help us to just give you the respect we ought to. Lord, you've called us and we've said no, we've pushed you away. Lord, help us to respect you and do your will. Help us to do that. Oh, God, help us we'd not be in that ungrateful crowd. We'd be in the crowd that says, yes, Lord, I'm coming back to say thanks. Lord, would you deal with us today? And Lord, help us take this invitation time and use it to get right with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing?